Thank you so much for the opportunity and privilege to be here with you this morning at the Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. And we're so thankful that this church has men that can pray and pray audibly as you do when we have that prayer meeting like we just had. It's wonderful that we have a collection of men who can pray to God, and God hears and answers those prayers, and we are so blessed to be able to have good leaders who can pray to God audibly, and also good men who can lead songs and lead us in the proper way to worship the Lord even as we sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And what a privilege it is to have this opportunity to be with you here at this church. I've turned to a portion of scripture found in the book of Mark. Well, I want to begin, but the thought that's on my mind, and I want us to get this thought on our mind as we think about what's the significance of worshiping God. In the book of John, where Jesus met with the woman that had gone to Jacob's well to draw water. And if you remember a verse in that portion of scripture in John, which we'll get to a little later, but the woman was asking God, how do you worship? Where do you worship? Does it matter how you worship? Does it matter where you worship? It does matter. It makes a difference where you matter, because God, Jesus said to the woman there at the well, he said, those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God seeketh such to worship him, those that worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I always looked at that this way. There's lots of God's children all out here, from here to east, from the east coast to the west coast, that have met together because it's Sunday morning. They've met to worship God. And they've met in the Spirit of God because God has given them life, and they have the Spirit of God that dwells within them. And they've met out to worship the Lord, but they do not worship him in truth. Now you might ask, well, Brother Heron, what do you mean by the truth? I mean this: those that worship God and give him the praise, the honor, and the glory for salvation, that's of the Lord. They give him the praise, the honor, and glory, and realize that they were conceived in this world dead in trespasses and in sin. And in that condition of death in trespasses, were not able to do anything of themselves. But God reached down because he elected and loved them before the world began, and gave them life. I've said this before and I'll say it again. God is the author and giver of life. There is no other source of life other than God. God is eternal and the author of life. And anything that springs forth with life is a blessing from God. Even the natural life that we have is a blessing from God. I don't know whether you ever went to Atlanta when they had this demonstration on how the human body functions and works. I remember going down there, and I can remember thinking, oh, how intricate, oh, how complex that is. And that is a work of God. God is the author of life and the giver of life. And we were dead. You hear me? dead when we were conceived in this world in the flesh, and we had been plunged into a state of death by Adam. And when we were in that state of death, God reached down and gave us life. And that's how it came. It came by the sovereign grace of God. Now, all people that meet together to worship Christ this morning, do not recognize that. Do not see that. Do not worship Him in the truth of what I just expressed to you. God gives unto those that are dead in trespasses and sin, that He's elected and loved before the foundation of the world, life. And when they get life, then their heart and their minds turn toward God, and they have a desire to serve the Lord. But if you're going to worship the Lord, it says there in John, Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And what we're going to do this morning, the Lord being my helper, we're going to look at some individuals that are expressed here who were eager for the truth. They had the Spirit of God. They meant to worship God, but they were looking for something more than that. They were looking for the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. They were eager for the truth. Now we're going to begin here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we'll begin here in the very first verse to establish where it was that Jesus was at. He was going about preaching. Jesus Himself, I suppose this could be said. I never heard Him preach. I can read from His Word the words that He preached. But Jesus, as He went about Jerusalem and different places preaching the gospel, there's never been a greater preacher that's ever preached the word than Jesus. Why? Because He was the author of the word. The Bible that I have in front of me, it has red letters and it has black letters. They call that the red letter edition. And there's nothing wrong with that. Only thing about it, they say the red letters are the words of Jesus. No, all the scripture are the words of Jesus. The red letters, the black letters. The red letters are only the words that Jesus spoke while He was in the flesh here upon this earth. So don't be confused by saying only the red letters are the words of Jesus, because they're all the words of Jesus. The scripture says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So here we want to begin in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and it says in the very first verse, speaking of Jesus, and He arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto Him again. Now, what does that mean? The people that he was on the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto Him. That means they went to Him. They were attracted to Him. They wanted to hear what He said. Why? Because never man spake like this man. Why? Because He was God in the flesh. And when He spake, people wanted to hear the words that came from the mouth of Jesus, the Son of God. the Son of Man as he traveled around preaching. So the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, as they wanted or needed to be there to hear him, he taught them again. Yes, Jesus teaching those the Word of God as he went about preaching. Now we want to take a look at one instance in this chapter of an individual that came to Jesus. He was eager for the truth. He wanted to know the truth, but he asked Jesus a question. And the question that he asked Jesus, if we analyze it, we'll see that it is an indication that he did not understand, and he did not understand the truth as it is in Christ Jesus that I have already preached unto you and expressed unto you. He did not understand that principle. He lacked the truth as it is in Christ. And it's found here in verse 17. And it says here in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "And when he was gone forth into the way," that's Jesus, "when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running." Now listen to this. There was a man that wanted to see Jesus, and he didn't want him to get out of sight. He didn't want him to get away. So he came running. He was excited to be coming up to Jesus, this man that spoke these words of wisdom as he came. So he came running, and he kneeled down to Jesus. When he got to, he was running, and when he got to where Jesus was at, he kneeled down to him, and he asked them. Now listen to this question that he asked him. "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Now I want to just stop there and deal with that question. What's wrong with that question? First of all, he didn't understand that salvation was of the Lord, and salvation was by grace, and you receive eternal life because God reaches down from heaven, and him being the only life giver gives you life and causes you to understand and to desire and want to live with him in heaven and experience eternal life, not a life that's so short here upon this earth that we have. So he wanted to know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the next question I want to thing I want to bring up about his question was this. He talked about inherit eternal life. Now, what is an inheritance? An inheritance, generally, you think of as somebody passes away and they own a home, they have money in the bank, and they've left a will, and the members of his family receive an inheritance. They receive the things that the person that died owned is gone now. That is not something they did to get that. An inheritance is not something you do to receive it. An inheritance is something you get because you're a member of the family or because you're a friend of the family. An inheritance, that's what it is. You don't do anything to receive an inheritance. So he was wrong to ask, call it call it an inheritance, and then ask, what do you do to receive this inheritance? You don't do anything to receive an inheritance. It wouldn't be an inheritance if you had to do something to receive it. You all have jobs, and you work your jobs, and you do your jobs, or you own a farm, and you work your farm, and you work, and you receive the benefits of your work. That's things you earn because of your efforts to do something. But this is not something you do to get. It's something that God gives to you. And he said, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? That question was a mixed up question to start with. So how did Jesus deal with this? Jesus dealt with what he said from the very first words of that question. He said, good master. He called the Lord good master. Well, that was good that he called him good master, because that was certainly true. This was Jesus, the Son of God, who was holy, harmless, separate from sinners, undefiled and separate from sinners. Yes, the Lord was good. But Jesus recognized that this man lacked knowledge about who God was. So he asked him, he said, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Now, you wouldn't call anybody good, because no one is good except God. Jesus recognized that this man, first of all, did not recognize that he was God. So he asked him, why are you calling me good? There's only one that's good, that's God. Jesus was trying to get him to thinking, well, this must be God then. This must be God in the flesh. So Jesus asked him, and why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. And then he asked him about things that you do as a child of God. Things that you should do. They're a part of God's Ten Commandments. So Jesus then said, well, let me ask you some questions about God's law. Let me ask you that. So Jesus said, thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Now that was six things of the Ten Commandments that Jesus asked him about. Well, since he asked the question, what must I do? So Jesus asked him about these commandments. And what did he say? And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I've done all these things, Lord. Does that give me the right to eternal life? No, that's not what Jesus told him for doing those things. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now, you know, a lot of people take this character because of what happened to him after Jesus talked to him, and say that he went to hell, because of what he did, because of his decision as to what Jesus told him to do. No, he didn't go to hell. No, man, this man was a child of God. How do I know that? Because that scripture right there tells me, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And I'm going to tell you, if Jesus loved him, we'll see that man in heaven one day. I'm going to tell you before I go on down into this, he made a decision here that was costly to him in his life here upon this earth. I'm going to tell you it was, because he made the wrong decision here. But Jesus loved him. And Jesus said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, what will he do by taking all that he had, all that was his, and selling it and giving it to the poor? What will he receive from that? He'll receive treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven, treasure in the kingdom of God while here in this world. Not trusting in the things that he had, not trusting in the things of this world, not trusting in those that won't get you anywhere, because if you own stock in the stock market and you're wealthy from that, that could all crash down tomorrow. Don't depend on those things in this life. Those won't get you anywhere. Trust in God. Trust in God who said he'd never leave you. He'd never forsake you. So this man told him to sell whatsoever he had, give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. By doing this, you'll have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Now that was a simple, simple thing Jesus told him to do. But he could not do it. This man could not do what Jesus had just expressed to him to do. And he says, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You see, this man's problem was this. God had blessed him with great possessions, but his trust was in his possessions and not in God. And so he could not release those things of the earth, those things that were his possessions, because he depended on them for his very living and not on God, who will take care of his own here in this world. So he could not do that Jesus asked him, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, what did he lose by doing that? He lost all the joy that there is in knowing how eternal life comes. It's not by what you do, it's by what God has done for you. And he went away grieved, and he missed out on the blessings of understanding the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But by the same token, when he came running and kneeling to Jesus, he was a child of God seeking for the truth. Now, you know, there's been people that have sought the truth, have found it in the Primitive Baptists, but later left and took it and lost it because they weren't faithful to holding to the truth, to worshiping God, not only in spirit, but also in truth. And that's why it's worth that hour's drive that I drive from Alpharetta, Georgia, to right here at White, Georgia, to worship the Lord. This is a place where the Lord is worshiped in spirit and in truth. And all the other places that I pass coming over here don't. So I worship the Lord here, where I can worship him in spirit and in truth. So here, this rich young ruler, he was one that sought after the truth as it was in Christ, that he might worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So now we want to turn over here to another portion of Scripture, where we'll see an expression of others who were eager for the truth, or searched for the truth. Now I'm telling you this morning this because if I seem to struggle, it's because my eyesight has gotten so dim. My eyesight has gotten so dim. It's hard for me even to read this large print edition of the Bible, and so there's nothing I can do about it. My eye doctor has said that the glaucoma is having an effect on my eyesight. So it may come a day when I'll not be able to see at all. He said they would if I live long enough, and the Lord just keeps letting me hang around. I'll be 83 next year in July, so not many people even live to be 83. So I feel very blessed, and even though I struggle with my eyesight, I still am blessed of the Lord. So, but anyhow, here in the book of Luke, we'll find a people that were seekers for the truth. And that's an honorable thing for a child of God to do, to seek for the place where the truth is, so that they can worship God properly in spirit and in truth. Now here in the book of Luke chapter 21 in verse 34, it says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come up upon you unawares, and as a snare shall it come. Go on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple." Now this is Jesus. "In the daytime he was teaching in the temple." He would teach in the temple in the daytime. "And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives." And I can remember when we went to Jerusalem being in that area called the Mount of Olives. But here it expresses how that Jesus came, and in the daytime he preached in the temples, and at night he'd go to the Mount of Olives and he'd rest there overnight in the Mount of Olives. And then it's that next verse that tells us those that sought the Lord, those that sought the truth, those that wanted to worship God properly, those that wanted to worship God not only in spirit but also in truth. And it says in verse 38, "And all the people came early in the morning in the temple for to hear him." All the people that came from wherever they lived around Jerusalem, all the people that made an effort to get up and to go to the temple of God to hear Jesus preach, to hear Jesus speak. Those people, all that went to the temple, not all that was in Jerusalem, but all that made the effort to get up and to go to the temple to hear Jesus preach, they were eager for and wanted the truth. And whenever they went, they were worshiping God, not only in spirit, but also in truth. The people that gathered themselves in the temple of God, yes, indeed, they were searching for the temple of God. Also, now we want to—I missed one, so we want to back up here to the book of Mark, where we'll find it expresses another people that were seekers for the truth. It says in verse 37 here of the 12th chapter of Mark, he says, "David therefore himself called him Lord, and whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly." Now here Jesus was speaking and preaching, And so it was who? The common people that heard him. It was the common people that sought for the truth. Who were the common people? The regular, ordinary people. They weren't scribes. They weren't prophets. They weren't anyone to be mentioned. They were just God's children who had been born again, who wanted to go, who wanted to hear, who wanted to worship God, who wanted to worship Him properly, not only in spirit, but also in truth. Backing up into this, we'll back up here to verse 35. Jesus answered and said, while He taught in the temples, how say the scribes that Christ is the Son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Ghost, the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him gladly. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing, and love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feast. Devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. These shall receive a greater damnation. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold, how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasuries, for they all did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. In other words, this woman gave everything she had. She was trusting the Lord to take care of her. She was trusting in the Lord to feed her next meal. She wasn't trusting in the treasures or the monies of this world to protect her. Her trust was in the Lord. And so when these things like this were preached by Jesus, it says the common people heard him greatly. So it was the common people that heard Jesus and came out to hear him and came out to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we want to turn over here to John, where Jesus, as I expressed earlier, met this woman at the Jacob's well. And when Jesus came to this place, this woman came to draw water. She was a Samaritan woman. Now the Samaritans, they were Jews, but they were not Orthodox Jews, and they were sort of the outcast of the Jewish people. And so when she met Jesus, asked him several questions about how you worship, where you worship. Our fathers say worship in this mountain, and your people say worship in Jerusalem. Jesus here was discussing with her about where and how to worship God. And that's where Jesus told her that God was a spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, and that God seeketh such to worship him. So she had asked Jesus these questions, and he came up to deal with her, and then his disciples came on the scene and wondered why was he speaking to this woman. You see, they were thinking, well, she's not a Jew, she's a Samaritan, but yet she was indeed a child of God. And Jesus spoke to her, and after that he spake unto, she asked him some questions, and Jesus simply answered her this. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Now the woman was expressing about the Messiah, and Jesus says, I that speak to you am he. And then this woman went back, and she told those of her family and those of her friends that she had met this man who told her all things that ever she did. And this man would have to be the Son of God. This man would have to be the Messiah to know all about me. How did he know the privy of all of my situation? Because he was God in the flesh, and God knows all things. He knows everything that his children do. She went back and told her friends that Jesus had all that Jesus had done. And it says here, beginning at verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. But so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Now, when this woman went and told others her experience with Jesus, some of them believed because of what she said, and then some of them doubted about what she said. So some then wanted to go to see for themselves, so they went to see Jesus. And it says, and whenever they went to see him, many more believed of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe that because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. In other words, some believed on her from her testimony. Others believed only after they saw him and heard his own words. But they were all seekers of the truth. They were people who was a desire to know the Lord and to know the truth of how salvation comes, and know the truth of how God saved his people eternally in heaven and immortal glory. And they heard him, and indeed this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now these were the Samaritans. They were indeed seekers of the truth. Now we want to turn over here, and we'll find an instance that we'll all be familiar with. That was a Gentile. His name was Cornelius. Now Cornelius was a man who prayed. He was a man who worshiped God, but he didn't know the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. So Cornelius had sent out for one man to come to preach to him. He sent out for Peter to preach to him. Now, Peter was a Jewish apostle, and so Peter was from a human point of view, not the typical one to go preach to Cornelius, who was a Gentile. So the Lord revealed unto Peter, if you read through this, that God had a people not only among the Jews, but also among the Gentiles. And this Cornelius was one who was seeking after the truth. He was seeking the truth that he and his family might worship the Lord, not only in spirit, but also in truth. And so this man Cornelius sent for Jesus, for Peter to come and to preach to him. And this is all of this is in the scriptures, and you'll have to read through it to get all the complete story. But it says in verse 30, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms have had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. And immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, for thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And I always love that 35th verse. You can say that about anybody, anywhere, wherever they're at. Anyone that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him, because he wouldn't fear God and work righteousness if he hadn't been born again of the Spirit of God. That makes him a child of God. That makes him accepted unto God. It's God who's made him acceptable unto God by the imputation of the righteousness of Christ within him. And the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. So here, Cornelius was a man of a Gentile person and his family that were seeking after the truth, that they might properly worship God, not only in spirit, but also in truth. Cornelius indeed was one that that sought after the truth. Now we want to turn over in the book of Acts, where the gospel went to the Gentiles. There were some Gentiles that had been where the gospel was preached, and whenever they heard it preached, they asked that next Sabbath day, or the next first day of the week, that you come and you preach those same things to us over there. They wanted to worship God, and they wanted to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now we'll see this beginning at verse 34. And it said here in the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 34, and as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, He said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith unto another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see a corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto the fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, though this man is preached unto you, and the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, for by the law justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Yes, indeed. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Yes, the Gentiles who is at this temple in Jerusalem and heard Jesus speak, heard the preaching of the gospel here, said, we want these same things on the next Sabbath to come over and preach for us. In other words, they were desiring to know the truth and to worship God and to worship Him properly by not only worshiping Him in spirit, but also worshiping Him in truth. And the Gentiles then sought that on the next Sabbath they might hear the word of God and worship the Lord in spirit, the proper way to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the last thing before closing out this morning, this over in the book of Acts, there was a group of people called the Bereans. Now the Bereans were a special people in that whenever they listened and heard the word of God, they did the same thing that each and every other child of God should do. When they heard the word, they should read the scriptures, look at the scriptures to see if the things that they heard preached were as thus saith the word of Lord. If it is, take it to your heart, apply it to your life, and you'll be a happy Christian person while you live in this earth. But if it's not the truth, reject it. Reject it as untruth and move on. But here, the Bereans, that's what they did. They searched the scriptures to see if the things that they heard were as thus saith the word of the Lord. And we'll read about that here in the book of Acts. They were searchers for the truth, that they might worship God not only in spirit but also in truth. It says here now, beginning at verse 10 of chapter 17 of the book of Acts, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went unto the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, of which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately, the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. Yes, the Bereans, seeking to hear the truth as it is in Christ, that they might know the truth and worship God not only in spirit, but in the truth of what the Scriptures teach unto us as His children. Yes, indeed, this is a subject that is very important to especially these young people and young children of this church. Always understand it is important where you worship and how you worship. You worship God, you worship Him in spirit, and you recognize it's because God has given you His spirit to worship Him. But also, in order to properly worship Him, as Jesus told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we saw several things in the Scripture that told us who it was that sought to know the truth and to worship God in spirit and in truth. That was that Jewish ruler. He came asking Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He rejected Jesus' message to him and went away sad. And it's a sad situation, because the Scripture doesn't tell us any more about that man from that day forward. But I can assure you, from the decision he made, he wasn't a happy camper. But when he died, he did go to heaven. I believe it because Jesus loved him. So the rich young ruler was one that sought the truth and sought a way to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it was the common people of Jerusalem that came out to hear the word of God, the common everyday people, those that attended, that woke up and attended the temple every Sabbath day, seeking the truth as it is in Christ, that they might worship the Lord properly. Those Samaritans who were not Orthodox Jews, but yet they were Jews, they were God's children. But when they came to the knowledge of the truth, they had what it took to worship the Lord, not only in spirit, but also in truth. And then Cornelius, a Gentile, and his family sought to know the truth as it is in Christ, sought to hear the gospel preached of Jesus and His finished work, that he might worship the Lord, not only in spirit, but also in truth. And then there was the Bereans, who were more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if the things they heard were as thus saith the word of the Lord. And as a result, they were those that sought and desired to be a people that worship the Lord properly. As Jesus expressed to the woman in the well, God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord continue to bless Macedonia Church, is my prayer. We want to sing some song, announce the open doors of the church in any way she receives a member. You have that desire.